The following is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University.
Out of time, so I want to introduce you to a little bit of information about externships, and it's not all the information that you need, but it will get you started, because this is about the time when you need to get started thinking about what you might want to do this summer, next fall, next spring. And at WCL, you can earn academic credit for work outside of school. I think it's going to work. All right, is this working as a mic? Yes, okay, good. I'll just trip now. So the first thing, I will introduce our panelists in one moment, but I'll introduce our panelists now. Let me do that. I think most of you have a little sheet here, so I will just say this is David Thack, worked at the Department of Commerce this last summer, right? And Michelle is over here. Michelle, as you can see, was at the Immigration Justice Project and also at CASA of Maryland. Where is the Southern Poverty Law Center? Montgomery, Alabama. So did you do that, the second one for credit, or no? Oh, okay. And Lauren, you were at USAID. You're from Scranton. I've been to Scranton. I like Scranton. So they're going to talk to you a little bit about what their experiences were, how they found their externships, etc. But in the meantime, before that, I am going to very quickly give you information about the externship program. So my part's going to be like 5 minutes, because I'm going to talk really fast because I'm from New York. First of all, what's the difference between an internship and an externship? No, credit. Credit. Internship, you can volunteer anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Externship, you are earning academic credit for your work, which means that between the school and the American Bar Association, we put all sorts of requirements on it. It has to be substantive legal work. You have to work under the supervision of an attorney. You have to be at a not-for-profit, which includes the government and courts and law firms if they are doing pro bono work. But you can't work at a law firm and a for-profit law firm and get academic credit for it. You get between 1 and 3 credits for the actual field placement, and then there is a 3-credit graded seminar that you take in addition to that. So as a total piece, they work together. It's in the summer, it's usually 6 credits, although it could be 4, 5, or 6 credits for the whole piece. At this school, externships, very popular. We're in Washington, D.C. This is why you came to D.C., because you want to be doing all these exciting things. Last year we had 330 students doing externships. So this is, for our school, really, you know, a very important part of the curriculum. Very quickly, reasons to do an externship. They'll tell you the same thing, basically. And you probably know all this, but I'm going to go through it anyway. Practical work experience. You're learning this stuff in law school. It makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know about you, but civil procedure, pretty much gibberish. In fact, civil procedure, very important when you get out there and actually start doing stuff. Civil procedure, more important. More important than almost anything else, except perhaps legal rhetoric, which is the other thing you're going to discover turns out to be really, really important. And it's all going to make sense when you actually start working. Assist you in choosing what substantive area of law you might want to go into. You may be here thinking, I want to do criminal law. And then you go and you work for the Public Defender Service for the summer, and then you say, Yeah, I'm not doing criminal law. That was a mistake. So you don't know, you know, and in which case you have had a great summer because you have, you know, saved yourself from a career that is not the career that you really should be in. And of course, there's the building of connections, which I don't know how much you can appreciate yet. Washington, D.C. is a very, very small town. Lawyers, marrying lawyers, having baby lawyers everywhere. And you don't know but what your neighbor's cat's veterinarian's wife's gonna... Their air, it's all very connected. It's a small, small town. So whatever you do in the field of law, you're going to be somehow connected to other people. Summer externships free up some of your time in your second and third year. One of the things that we recommend is if you do an externship over the course of your first summer, you can go part-time your third year. Brings in terms of the money, this is very important. Don't think that you're going to have to pay extra if you take these courses over the summer, because what you can do is go part-time in your third year. In your third year, you can perhaps get a paying job, or maybe you're like doing clinic. And if you're doing clinic and you're actually representing real people, you may want to have, you may want to be taking fewer classes. So being able to free up some of your time in your third year can be really, really beneficial. It is, by the way, very difficult to get a paying job the summer after your first year. I mean, you know, it would be great. It would be great, and if I could wave a wand, I would have all of you doing substantive legal work and getting paid for it at the end of your first year. But in fact, that is not so likely to happen. If you do get a job, it's less likely to be substantive. So, you know, one of the reasons for doing an externship is so that, you know, you come back as your first day of your second year, and you've been doing substantive legal work. You're way ahead of anybody who hasn't. The classroom component gives you the experience not just of yourself but of the other people in the class, which can be very helpful. And also, if there are some, it's funny, I just looked at an old evaluation, way old, before we had the seminar component, and they said, the comment was, it would be really helpful if we had some kind of seminar so that we could talk to other people and get some input into whatever issues we're having. And I was like, oh, good, all right. And I guess maybe the most important thing is that you get to make mistakes. You get to make lots of mistakes in an environment where you're supposed to be making mistakes, and you get used to it. Because it's not like you're going to make the mistakes and then you won't make mistakes after you become a lawyer. You just get used to the idea, and you realize that lawyers make mistakes, everybody makes mistakes, and it's okay. You know, it happens. See if there's other important things I need to tell you. When should you do an externship? You can do an externship, you're allowed to, the summer after your first year. You can also do them in the fall and the spring. In the summer, you can work full-time and get credit. In the fall and the spring, you can work up to 20 hours a week and get credit for that. Sometimes if there's a really prestigious externship that you want, you might let's say you try for it in the summer. You apply for it and you don't get it because in the summer, everybody's coming from all over the country here for externships, and, you know, it's very competitive. So that would be a situation where you might want to try again in the fall and the spring. In the fall and the spring, the only people who can get externships in Washington, D.C. are the people who are going to school here, basically. So you've got GW and Catholic and WCL are the only ones really with externship, you know, large externship programs. So your chances of getting something that's, you know, very, very prestigious and difficult go up. Although, having said that, let me say, don't make the decision for somebody else. Don't say to yourself, oh, I can't, oh, I'll never get this. Your job is to apply for the externships. We will give you, we have a database, which is up here, and we're going to show you. The database is a list of places that have either taken externs in the past or who have said that they're interested in hiring externs. You know, I'll talk to you about what to do, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, it is you who need to apply for the externships. And don't like I said, don't make their decisions for them. Don't assume anything. You just go ahead and apply. You're fabulous. You're going to get those externships. I know. Speaking of which, though, there are a few things you can do that will help you get those externships, and I wanted to let you know about them. Career Services, we're working sort of in conjunction with them so that you'll see that they're having a resume and cover letter workshop Monday, November 5th at 11:30. So it's this same group of you getting together to talk about your resumes. They also have this cool new software on their that we're going to link to on our database, but it's Career Services software, where it's to write a resume, and it does all the formatting for you. And Greg Seidel standing in the back of the room. Greg Seidel is the externship program assistant. He's also a part-time student here, so he has a lot of very good information. You should always feel free to drop by 413, ask Greg any questions you would like, or me. I'm in 411. We tried it. And what we found was that it works really well. And one of the nice things about it, basically it's this, format. It's formatted so that you just put your information in, and it gives you a good-looking resume that's properly formatted for law school versus other careers. Like your law school education has to be at the top, certain things like that. But it's like, it's kind of hard to format a resume. One nice thing about it is that you don't have to do it exactly their way. You could change the font, whatever, and it keeps the formatting. So Monday, November 5th, you should make sure that you all come to the resume and cover letter workshop, because initially those resumes and cover letters, they're going to be going for your externships. That's what you're going to be using them for. And then you're going to be using them for paid positions. There's a bunch of career services things. Saturday, November 3rd, there's a career day. And then they're also going to have a training on their database. Their database is different from our database. There's two different databases. There's Career Services, and then there is the externship database. You go to the externship database through the externship website, right? So make sure that you remember that there are two different databases. They tend to have paid positions and internships, and we will have externships. But you never know. You should always check, because you never know when something, goes up on one and doesn't go up on the other, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure next Monday, especially resume and cover letter. I mean, that's really, it just makes such a difference. When you hand somebody a cover letter or a resume and it looks good, that's what's going to set you apart. I mean, nobody thinks you're supposed to have legal experience before, you're in law school, you're a first year student. So it's not like these employers are thinking, why doesn't she have 3 years of, legal experience? They understand that you don't. So what they're looking for is a good looking, cover letter and resume that, makes the most of the experience that you did have. All right, now, that's, I think, pretty much all of the overview information that I wanted to share about the externship program. I'm sure there's 1,000 more things I could say, but that's it for now. What I would like to do, really, for the whole rest of the time is turn it over to the panelists. just in time. We told them it started now, so. I'm going to turn it over to them, and I think what I'm going to ask is that they start off just by telling you a little bit about the actual work that they did in their externships. Greg, are you waving at me or just no? Okay. To start off, just go down the row and introduce yourselves and say a little bit about what you did in your externship, and if you had more than one, you can tell us briefly about more than one.
Thank you, Avis. As we mentioned before, my name is David Thack, and I'm from Troy, Michigan. This summer, I worked at the Department of Commerce in their general counsel. The exact program was the Commercial Law Development Program. And what they do is they provide legal and technical consulting with emerging markets. So if there's a third world country or an emerging market that we have a free trade agreement with, or a bilateral investment treaty, or any investment agreement with, the U.S. government will have the Department of Commerce work with them to help them meet the different provisions of that investment treaty or FTA. So what we do is they provide technical consulting with them and legal consulting and specific provisions of that FTA. I can explain that more in detail if anyone has questions about that. The way that I came into that and what I did there was I basically did a lot of memos, and every day I would work with different attorneys on different projects. One of the first projects I worked on was a Moroccan sourcing mission, and this was interesting because not only did I provide memos for the mission, which was a Moroccan delegation that came to the United States, and we took them around to different areas in South Carolina and D.C., but not only did I provide memos for that, but I got to actually go with the delegation and travel with them and meet different people from the Moroccan government, which was a pretty unique experience in our office and for an intern out of his first year. So I really enjoyed doing that. One of the other projects I worked on was a standards project, which, while it's not the most interesting thing and probably not the most sexy topic you're going to get, but standards, looking at international business, international development, when you're going into a different region or a different market, you need to make sure that each product that you have is standardized. So one of the things that I did was work on that and provide memos to the Persian Gulf area and the Middle Eastern countries and providing standards. You might be asking yourself, what does this really have to do with law school? Well, one of the reasons why I was interested in the Department of Commerce was that I have a finance background. And while many people might not actually be interested in doing something like that, what you get from working at CLDP or Department of Commerce is a consulting career, legal consulting, legal policy work. So if you worked for the Department of Commerce under their CLDP program, you're never going to be inside of a courtroom. And now that might be good for some of you, it might be bad for some of you. For me, I didn't come to the law school to be a litigator, more so interested in policy work and legal consulting, working in international development. So while my experiences were interesting for me and certain individuals, it might not be for the mainstream. But I'd be happy also to answer questions about that later. But right now, I'll pass on.
And I'm just going to take a break here to just say what is common then for all of you to get out of this is that idea that you think through, why did I come to law school in the first place, and in what way could an externship help me move along toward that career? What are the blocks that I need in order to get that career? What courses do I need to take? What work experience do I need? And that's what David did before he made that choice. Yeah, Megan.
Hello, I'm Megan Reinstein, and I'm from...
Bring the mic even closer.
Okay. I don't want to hurt your ears. I am from Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm a 2L, and I spent this past summer working for the House of Ruth, which is a domestic violence legal clinic, and it offers domestic violence representation for those who can't afford representation, so a lot of immigrants, but we saw the wide span of clients. And I worked, the main office is in Baltimore, but I worked in the Rockville Circuit Court, which was fantastic because it was a small office, there were only two attorneys, so I got to do a lot of work, and I got to spend a lot of time in court. So I could see how the proceedings started. I would meet with the client, and I would take the statement, and I would sort of tell the attorney whether or not they should represent this person, and then I would actually see it go all the way through to the court case. So that was really neat. I spent a lot of time translating. I did a lot of writing. I helped the attorneys write different memos, different briefs. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I really enjoyed, like I said, because it was such a small office, I actually got to do so much hands-on work, and I actually got to interact with a lot of the clients. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Hi, I'm Michelle Lapointe. I'm a 3L, and I actually, my externship wasn't either of the things mentioned on the sheet. I externed at the immigration court in Arlington, and the summer jobs were just internships, so I didn't get credit for those. But I worked last spring at the immigration court and got credit for it. I was there just 10 hours a week, which I think is the minimum that you can do in addition to the seminar. And I had a great experience. I wish I could have been there more hours. If you do have the chance to work at least 15 and possibly 20 hours, if you want to do a semester externship, I would recommend it, because it's kind of hard to get into the work or into the office environment if you're only there 10 hours a week. But to the extent that I could get involved, I really did enjoy it. And I found the externship through actually a WCL alum who's the clerk at the court there, Anna Tala, and that's a really good thing to keep in mind, that there are WCL alums working all over D.C. and the rest of the country, but especially for school year externships. They're a really good resource, and they tend to forward things on to Avis's office and to other listservs. So keep your eye out for that, because it always gives you a leg up in the applicant pool if it's a WSL alum. So basically, the immigration court is not a normal court. It's part of the Department of Justice, which is a little bit strange. It was for me, at least, because the same, in a sense, it's the executive branch trying to deport people, and it's also the executive branch that's deciding whether people should get to stay. But that's a whole other story, which I could get into later. But it was interesting because it was an administrative court, which made it a little bit different. There are about 7 judges, I believe, that work in the Arlington court, and 1 clerk. So she was busy all the time, and she talked to people, her friends who clerked for regular judges, Article 3 judges, and it's just a completely different experience. She had a ton of work. The system is really overburdened, and so that kept us busy, which was great, because you don't want to be bored at an externship. So basically, we wrote the judges' opinions, which is pretty cool. We would go through the transcripts, or actually the tapes, and the entire files for an immigrant who is in removal proceedings, and usually the judge would have a very clear idea of how he was going to rule. Sometimes he was willing to listen to what we had to say if he wasn't entirely convinced one way or the other. So I wrote full opinions on asylum cases and other removal proceedings, and it was really fascinating. I got a lot of writing experience and some research experience, but it wasn't a direct representation type of thing. So just think about that also, what type of experience you're looking for. If you really want to work with clients, then a government externship might not be the way to go. So that's essentially what I did. I'm happy to take any questions about that or any of my internships later.
Hi, I'm Lauren Bailey. I am from Scranton, which has received a lot of attention lately, although I can tell you that any scene you see on The Office, or at least for the most part, is not filmed in Scranton. This past summer, I interned in the General Counsel's Office at the United States Agency for International Development. I was assigned to the Economic Growth, Agriculture, Trade, and Global Health Bureaus, which are 2 pillar bureaus within USAID. The way that it works is that divisions of the General Counsel's Office provide support to each of the bureaus. And most of the bureaus are regional. There are 3 or 4 pillar bureaus, and that's who I was working with. It was a fantastic experience. I got a broad range of topics that I got to work on, which was great. It was exactly what I was looking for. I knew I wanted to do international development, but I wasn't sure exactly what. I worked on issues of procurement. How do you give a car to a foreign government when you're done with your development project? I worked on a development credit transaction. Development credit includes providing loan guarantees to banks that are going to give loans to microfinance projects, which was really interesting and way over my head. I also worked on family planning, legislative, and policy requirements. For any of you who follow the foreign assistance bills in Congress right now, there's a big to-do over the Mexico City policy, which restricts U.S. funding for provision of abortion, which cuts it off. And they're trying to change some of the language, and the bill will most likely get vetoed. I also got to work on the PEPFAR program, which is the President's Emergency Program for AIDS Relief. And what I did there was evaluate abstinence curricula submitted to us by faith-based organizations to see if they were acceptable for the use of government funding, which basically means that depending on the number of religious references, you could or could not use that curricula. And so that was interesting. I spent a lot of time reading those documents. I found my externship through the externship fair. I looked at the employers who were there, and I wanted USAID, and so I walked over to Mark Fittipaldi, who's the externship coordinator, and I said, you know, I talked to him for a while, and he called me in a couple months and said, do you want the job for the summer? So it worked out really well. There are also WCL connections there. My supervisor was Susan Pascasello, who is the wife of Matthew Pascasello in the Career Services Office.
I rest my case.
And so she was really great at sort of both networking me into USAID work, and she would give me WCL mugs every once in a while. I got to attend a lot of different staff meetings, which is probably my favorite part of the externship. I liked seeing how the Bureau worked internally and what kind of services we provided. And my supervisor was incredibly accessible. She made herself available a lot, and she actually set up career lunches for us, talking to different people within USAID and within the State Department, which is great because that's something I'm also really interested in. So I'd be happy to take your questions on any of my experiences.
Great. I'm going to take a minute to interrupt to tell you about the externship fair. I'm also going to ask you a favor, which is if the people who are working on their laptops could actually stop doing that while we're doing this. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but if you're taking notes, that is fabulous. Then you should continue to take notes. But if you're not taking notes, then then there's no problem whatsoever. But if you're not taking notes, then it would be best, at least from my perspective. I don't know. You guys may be used to this, but it bothers me, and I find it distracting and difficult to listen. So, externship fair, the end of January. Yeah, now you're self-conscious about taking notes. No, take notes. The end of January, we have a fair where we invite, last year we had like 130 employers, externship employers, come to the school. And everybody needs to come to this fair because regardless of whether or not you want to do an externship or whatever, it just goes back to what we were saying before about how everybody knows everybody. And you really want to just walk around, meet people, get to know them, introduce yourself, find out what people are doing. Of course, if you are interested in doing an externship or an internship, I mean, I'm not fussy. Like, anybody can come, even if you're thinking you might just want to volunteer somewhere or something like that. Definitely, you want to come at the end of January to the fair. But on that note, I will ask, I'm going to turn it to say, how did you get your externships? Because you've already told us, but for the rest of you, how did you go about finding it, applying, making the decision?
As you've seen so far, there's a lot of different ways to get an externship, and I took advantage of different people around the law school, speaking to people and learning about what they did in prior summers. And it just so happened that I was talking to one of my really good friends here, and I didn't know what he was doing during the school year, because last year I was a part-time student, so we were allowed to have externships and work during the school year. I was talking to one of my friends, and he's telling me about this great program he's doing at the Department of Commerce, and the more he told me about it, it sounded like it was a perfect fit for me. So after talking with him, I emailed the person in charge in their office of recruiting externs, and before I knew it, I had an interview, and the interview went great, and that's how I got it. So really word of mouth, trying to take advantage of all different things, the externship office, and your classmates, talking with them, seeing what they've done, seeing who they know, because D.C. is a small city. You really notice that within about a year. I don't know, a lot of you might be from here and or you understand that, but I was from Michigan, so I came out here, and I wasn't expecting that. Really, you'll see, not just like through contacts, but when I worked downtown, I'd see the same faces over and over again. And it's really just trying to talk to these people and working with them and networking, because not only will it help you get an externship and maybe that career, that job down the road.
And I actually found my externship through the externship fair, and it was a wonderful experience. There were so many different organizations, and you just go up to the table and you sort of introduce yourself and you talk about, basically ask them some questions about their organization, and I found, probably six different organizations that I would have been more than happy to work at. And I was lucky to choose the one that I did because I really, really did like it. But the externship fair was a really big help in trying to decide what to do over the summer.
Actually, my first year, I got my internship through the externship fair. So it really is a great resource, and I know it's somewhat awkward to be in situations like that where you have to approach someone at a table just cold and give them your resume. And it definitely is awkward, but everyone does it, and you'll get used to it. And the thing is, a lot of people end up getting their jobs through that, so I would encourage you to attend. It's in January, usually.
Yeah, it'll be like January 25th, something like that. Okay. Oh, and we know. And again, I'm going to interrupt for a second to show you the other way that you can get an externship, easy, sort of best ways. On the externship website, we have this database. And here, somebody tell me something that they're interested in doing, like a field of law that you think you might like to extern in. Yes, you. Oh, that's the one thing that we're going to have the most difficulty with, because it's all, you know, because you, that's law firms, and that's the one thing we don't have. But still, we're going to put in corporate. Oh, I did this already. All right, let's try again. Or not. We're putting in C-O-R-P-O-R-A-T-E. Yeah. Corporate. Let's see if it works. Here we go. And we got 18 things came up. And it's, so it's kind of interesting because they have to be not-for-profits. So it's like not-for-profits who, and so, who somewhere in their listing, they have the word corporate. So, for example, the Government Accountability Project, which is a not-for-profit that promotes government and corporate accountability, deals with whistleblowers who, you know, in those areas. And so you see that what we have here is a description of the organization's work, a description of the externship's responsibilities. We also have recent number of student placements by year, and you can see that in 2004 we had one student who did an externship there, and then underneath it says field placement evaluations are on file. So if you know that somebody did an externship there, you can go to our office and you can read their evaluation and see what you think. Now, if you're doing that corporate, if you're interested in corporate law, search again. You would want to put in all the different keywords that you think might work. So you might then try finance. And, whoops, I clearly made a mistake and got 980 responses. That would be all of our, that would be everything. All right. So finance, you're getting just a few. But like, for example, if you're interested in intellectual property, we have, which is an area of interest if you're interested in doing corporate law, we have, the IP people have just put together 18 pages of lists of organizations that we're going to be inputting in the next coming couple of weeks into our database. So, you know, it moves, it grows, et cetera. Now, certain things you're going to find, you know, more of, because, again, it's... okay, let's try something that's out of the field. Yes.
Space.
Space. Oh. Yes, these are things we're going to thousands. All right, 14. We've got a bunch of things at the Federal Aviation Administration, parts of the Department of Justice. Space Systems Development Division of the FAA, right? And something like space is actually great, because the more specific you can be, you know, in a weird way, it's easier. When you put in human rights into this thing, you get like a thousand, you know, you get a lot of listings. And you don't like, oh, my God, where do I apply? What do I do? You, space, you know exactly where you need to apply. This place, this is great, you know. So it can be, it actually can be easier if you know, if you can narrow for yourself what you're looking for. Speaking of which, if anybody wants to come to my office and talk to me about that and try to figure it out, because again, we understand, your first year law students, it's very difficult to know what area you want to work in. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different things being thrown at you all at the same time. Speaking of which, let me ask you about that. In what way did this, and you don't have to go in order like this, in what way did this, did it change your academic or your career goals? Did it, you know, are you, did it change them? How did it affect your overall career goals having done the externship?
I guess I'll go first. Basically, I had an interest in international development work, legal consulting, basically working with developing markets, developing nations, and that's what CLDP does. So I was lucky to find something that I was interested in with that. But I guess what it really did was narrow my focus a little more, made me realize that what I wanted to do exists, because you know, most of the classes, if not like every class you have right now in your first year, deals primarily with the litigation and things that don't really touch on legal consulting or policy work. And I didn't really know if why I came here, like the job I wanted was out there, or if it was out there, if it was only out there 10 years down the road. I wasn't sure if it was something I could do right out. And while it's still not 100% sure, but now I know it's a reality that if I want to do this, work at CLDP, work in legal consulting with third world countries, that opportunity exists. There's people from the school that work there right now, and they went there right out of school. So it kind of made me realize what I want to do is out there, and kind of focus my interest on that.
Similar to David, I wasn't sure. I came to law school thinking that I didn't really want to do litigation either, but I know that I wanted to do something in the public interest area. And a lot of what I did over the summer was litigation, and it was phenomenal because I got to see sort of, maybe that I did like it, and then I also saw that I probably don't want to do domestic violence law for forever. But I got to work with immigrants, which is a really big part of what I want to do in the end. And then the House of Ruth actually does a lot of sort of policy work, too, which I'm really interested in, and so it was one organization where I got to see the litigation aspect, I got to see the policy aspect, and so it was sort of, it allowed me to focus and decide what I didn't want to do when I graduated from law school and what I did want to do, so.
I sort of had a sense of what I wanted to do even coming into law school. I worked for about 4 years before, after college, and so the externship wasn't that far out there for me. I mean, it was pretty much in the range of what I wanted to do, but it was helpful because it made me realize that, I don't want to do just straight immigration law, that I'm more interested in employment law related to immigrants, and also that working with clients is really important to me, and when I felt like it was sort of removed from that, and it was much more academic, and it was a useful experience, but it made me realize it's not exactly what I wanted to do.
I came to law school knowing what I wanted to do. I had a master's degree in international affairs, and I wanted to do rule of law work, and I thought the law degree would really help up my credibility in doing that kind of work. USAID was not exactly on target for rule of law issues because a lot of what I was doing was support work, but it showed me that there is an area of legal practice that I would be really interested in, which was something that I was looking for out of the internship, and I definitely got it.
If you're anything like me and kind of all over the place when you came to law school and you have absolutely no idea, externships are a really good way to sort of try to find exactly what you're looking for.
One of the things I've been told in the past about these panels is that people listen to the people here and they think, oh, God, well, they're very directed. Like, they seem to really have a handle on where they want to go and what they want to do, and I don't know what I want to do, and I don't know where I want to go, and look, she knew she wanted to do immigration. She knew she wanted, you know, and it's, you know, just so you know, like, that's the majority of people who are in this room have either no idea or, like, kind of an idea of things they might like to do. And, you know, and it develops over time, and one of the ways that it develops is, like, by taking courses and doing externships. But, you know, don't feel like, you know, these guys are any different than you are. This will be you, you know, next year. You will have gone and done something over the summer, and you'll come back, and you're going to sound like, you know, you knew it all along. You'll tell people you knew it all along.
I wanted to add to that also. I mean, she couldn't be more true. I've spoken with many of you in the halls and on the shuttle, and you've accomplished more than I have. You've done a lot more with your life than I have so far. So it's you know, basically all I have on you is that I finished legal rhetoric, and which I'm happy to have done. But no, really, it's all I have is one year up, and we're really in the same boat. So as far as, like I was saying, with networking, it goes both ways. I mean, take advantage of it as much as possible.
You know, we've been talking about, like, the little town that, you know, Washington is, et cetera, and I'm wondering what kind of mentoring or supervision relationships did you develop? Do you feel like that was, an important part of your externship, or did it not work out the way you had hoped? for anybody. Let's change order. Start over there.
I talked about this a little bit when I was talking before. My supervisor was very busy. I worked with her and I worked with four other attorneys, and all of them were incredibly accessible to me. They were all very willing to share their experiences, most of them had come from firm careers, so both in finding firm jobs and then also for some of them in being a woman in the legal field. The supervision and the range of advice that they gave me definitely did not stick to the work I was doing for USAID. They were all very interesting people, which is really important to me, and they're good contacts, and they've all agreed to be references. So,
I had a great mentor at my externship. It was who I mentioned before, the clerk, who was a WCL alum, and I worked very closely with her every day, and she actually was a mentor of mine at school, so no surprise there. But the judges were also really accessible. I wouldn't say that I had the same sort of mentoring relationship with them as I did with the clerk, because obviously they were busy, but they were very accessible, and when I was doing a project for my externship seminar, one of them was willing to sit down with me for about 40 minutes to just talk about the project, and that was really helpful.
As I mentioned before, there were only two attorneys and one legal advocate, so I actually became really good friends with my two attorneys. They always had time for me. We had lunch almost every day, and they definitely became sort of a mentor to me. And then because I was in the circuit court, I also got to interact with a lot of the clerks, I got to meet a lot of the judges, and so it was definitely the supervisors were a great part of my externship.
My assigned mentor through the externship office, she was very busy during the summer, so I actually didn't get to see her very often. But I also worked with many other attorneys. There's about, I think, 12 attorneys in the CLDP office, and about four of them I worked with on a regular basis. One woman graduated from WCL about a year or two ago, and she is the junior attorney in the office. And her and I, we worked together on a lot of projects, and she was a great mentor. And she was able to relate to me also because she just got finished doing what I did. So she was very helpful. But you're gonna realize when you're working the summer, doing whatever you're doing, that a lot of the attorneys are very busy, and sometimes they won't be able to give you that mentor or that experience that you want. So what I did was I went and started having a relationship with one of the other attorneys, that woman. And basically sometimes it sounded awkward.
Or David.
You gotta do what you gotta do. No. But basically, sometimes it's not going to be the assigned mentor that you thought it was going to be at first. And I'm all set with that question.
the perks of externships. and honestly, it doesn't always work out that way. I mean, not David's. What I meant was... sometimes you don't get along with your supervisor, and sometimes, like the most common thing is that supervisors either give too much work or not enough work. And the challenge as the extern is to learn how to say to a supervisor, all right, you've given me three different assignments. I can only do one today. Which of the three do you want? And that's actually very difficult when they're going to, I don't know, I want a good reference or whatever. Learning how to say that and doing it and like figuring out where your boundaries are, those are important things to learn. Equally, when somebody does not give you work and you've got to be the one who has to go off and figure out how to get the work. And again, that's something you learn in the externship. Yes? Fabulous question. We have a special program for people who want to extern outside of the United States and for people who want to extern in other states. So, it's called the Long Distance Program. And what we do is you'd still take the 3-credit seminar, but it meets for 3 days in mid-May and 3 days in mid-August. And in the middle, you communicate via online classroom and email with your professor and with the other students. So let's say you want to go home, and because let's say you're from Nevada and you're thinking that you'd like to practice in Nevada when you graduate, you might want to do an externship in Nevada so that you start making those contacts there. and you could do this long-distance program, and you could do the externship in Nevada. We also have an international program, and we have a separate database, not the Career Services database, and not this database that I just showed you, but it's the secret database that, let's see if I can, there we go. Okay, so here's what our regular database looks like. Up here in this corner, it says international database. That's the secret database. And you put something in there like human rights. Yep, spelled it right. And you find a whole bunch of places. Now, this is a different kind of database. It's interesting between the way things work in the United States and other countries. What we discovered was that if you want to get an externship outside of the United States, it's really important to know somebody. So this database actually is a database of places where we have some WCL contact. And some of them are very strong contacts, and some of them, you know, not so much, like somebody knows somebody. So here you can see the British, you know, British-Irish Rights Watch. What, very importantly, what you will see here is that there's no contact information, and the reason for that is because if you want to apply to an international externship, I'd really like to talk to you first, so because I will have had communication with whoever our contact is, and I have a sense of exactly what they're looking for. So for the international database, let me turn this back on. For international externships, you can look on that database, but know that anything that you see on the database, we have some relationship with them, whether it's a small one or a big one, or, you know, some. We have a number of places that have said to us straight out, we will accept qualified WCL students. If you are a WCL student, you know, we're setting aside a place for you. So it's very helpful, obviously, to know that. Yeah. It's out of pocket, and if you can get an organization to pay for it, usually the rule, the ABA rule is, it's not our rule, it's the ABA rule, you can't get paid in any way, shape, or form and get academic credit. But one exception to that is out-of-pocket expenses. So if you can find someone somewhere, somehow, who will pay your travel, we will allow that, and that won't interfere with the fact that you're getting credit. It's not very likely, but it. I'm trying to think if I can think of the time when it's happened. there are some grants out there. Unfortunately, there's a grant here at the school, EJF, Equal Justice Foundation, but they won't let you do both. So, because we were up for it, but they wouldn't allow it. So you can't get an EJF grant and do an externship. And if you're not sure which way it's going, you know, again, we're not fussy. Like, you can use our database and then apply for the grant. And if you get the grant and you don't want to do it as an externship, that's fine. You know, whatever works for you guys. This is a good time to actually open it up for more questions. What else can we tell you that you would like to know about the externship program? Yeah.
What about, like, interning for a senator or a congressman on the Hill? Does that count as an internship? Because I guess it's not really.
Yeah, it's it's not really .. If you want to work for an individual congressman or a senator, you have to be doing substantive legal work. That doesn't mean litigation. You know, a lot of these guys were not doing litigation. But it does get iffy. Anybody here who's ever worked on the Hill, like, they'll have you do anything. They don't care, you know. And you'll be doing event planning and fundraising and, you know, going to get the congressman's, you know, sweater from the dry cleaner. So that doesn't count as substantive legal work. However, if you work on the Judiciary Committee, and I'll just show you something kind of cool here on the database. It helps right now if you're, well, you'll see. If you put in, let's see, Senate. Oop, I did that wrong. Sorry. It's hard to use this thing. S-E-N-A-T-E. You will see that the Judiciary Committee, let's see, has hired, in 2007 we had three people there, 2006 we had one, 2003 we had one. Like right now, if you're interested in working for the Democrats, they are. There's a lot more hiring of externs than there was previously. And if you're wanting to work for a Republican, then there's not as much competition right now. So. So you're okay either way. But so if you want to work for a committee, if you're working for a committee, there's not going to be a problem. If you want to work for an individual congressman, then I'm going to get on the phone with whoever. You have to be supervised by an attorney, and I'm going to talk to them to make sure that it meets all requirements. And sometimes it will, and sometimes it won't. Oops, sorry. One of you and then the other. Mr. Space. Right. They do not expect first-year students to be applying before the new year at all. And having said that, you know, if you see a place and you want to apply, you know, there's nothing stopping you. I think particularly there's some date, random date, career services. Career services stuff is a little different, though, because this is really part of your academic curriculum. What they expect is that, like our fair takes place the last week of January. It used to be that they expected people to apply in April. That has been moved back and moved back and moved back. And very importantly, one of the areas in which it moves back the most is U.S. government agencies, because you have to get a security clearance. DOJ, of course, any Homeland Security, of course, but even like the General Services Administration, everybody's requiring security clearances these days. So you need to give yourself a lot of lead time. The most secret agencies like the CIA and the NSA you almost can't do an externship there because of the issues with the security clearance. It's very difficult. So in answer to your question, over Christmas break, you should be getting by the time you get back here, your resume should be done, and you should be ready to start thinking about where you want to send it out. And then, you know what, I should ask you guys, do you agree with me on this, like January, February? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you're interested in a fall externship, apply in the spring, because people really do start, especially the government ones, that background check. It's not a very extensive one. I mean, in terms of like the levels, some of you have probably worked for the government before, and it's not like a high level one, but it does take a lot of time. And you have to get fingerprinted, and it's just crazy. So it's really a good idea to start as early as possible. And I don't know for the summer when you guys found yours.
Well, actually, I didn't. I think I probably applied in March, maybe the end of March. So I think I was kind of sort of lucky to. But I would recommend, because it makes it a lot less stressful if you sort of prepare yourself, like Ava said, over Christmas break and sort of decide, you know, where you want to apply. Because I think it's a lot easier than scrambling at the last second and being like, what am I going to do?
So you want to think about like February, I think, is when you'd be applying, basically. Yeah. Yeah, you need to talk to them in advance, and that's part of the externship experience, is having the conversation with your supervisor to explain to them what it is that you need to get out of the externship and make sure that you're going to get it. And then, because you don't want to be in the position that you're a month into it and it turns out it's not substantive, because you wouldn't get credit for it. In fact, we almost never have that problem. It does happen, though, and the solution to it is to have things be really clear before you get started in your externship, which you want to do anyway. So, yeah.
I noticed that students may apply for financial aid or participating just as they would for any other course. What is that financial aid for course? Do you have to pay for it?
Yes, you pay for the externship. Externship credits are like any credits. They're just like class credits. Three of them are the seminar, so they are, in fact, a class where you come and you have a class with other people and a professor. And three of them are it's credits that you pay for. And now some people find that abhorrent, and some people find it great, because it means that that's three credits that they get to, to take by going and working somewhere. So you can decide for yourself whether it's worth it to you. for financial aid, there are certain types of financial aid that you have to be doing 6 credits over the summer. And so generally, you can't do 4, you can't do 5, you have to do 6. So for that reason, there are a lot of people who will end up doing the seminar and the 3-credit, getting credit, three externship credits, field placement credits as well. An alternative is to, there's some mix and match things you can do because we also offer a 1-credit seminar. So you can play around with it. Yeah?
Will the financial aid cover living expenses or just?
I think it does it just the way it does it during the semester. Like it covers school and living. And again, some people find that beneficial because it brings in some money over the summer. And then again, what we recommend is in your third year, go part-time, and you're so much more likely to be able to get a paid position in your third year. Other questions?
Adding to that real quick. I don't know if anyone's wondering this, but one of my biggest concerns was I wanted to take classes during the summer also. I was a part-time student. I wanted to catch up. So what I ended up doing was taking 2 classes in the evenings and then doing the externship during the day. And I took a full load during the summer as far as what you can do in the summer. So it is a possibility. My schedule was lighter than it was during the school year, but I was actually in classes more than I was before. So if that's if anyone has any questions about that, I can talk to about that afterwards, taking classes and doing the externship at the same time.
Are there additional questions? Other questions? It's a lot, you guys get a lot of information thrown at you, both substantively and in terms of trying to figure out the 18,000 different opportunities that are here at the school. So one thing I would recommend on this would be to go to the externship website and take a look at it. Look at the database, play around with the database, put in the keywords that you think might be of interest to you. You can search by most recent addition. That means if somebody just recently called us. But that doesn't really tell you anything because there are a lot of places that they go into our database and they are very happy to just sit in our database and they get externs every year, and they're perfectly happy with that. So the fact that they haven't recently contacted us doesn't mean that they're not looking for an extern. Again, you don't be the one to decide. Don't look at the listing and say, oh, it's old. They're probably not available anymore. No, that's not your job. Your job is to send your resume or call them. And if they get back to you and say that person's no longer here, then you say, oh, well, who's responsible now for supervising externs or say interns, because nobody knows what an extern is. So, but that's your job, and don't make, like I said, don't make their decisions for them. You are, you're all fully qualified. There's no reason for you not to get, an externship. Again, I want to give you, I'm in room 411, and Greg is in room 413, and we are reachable at externship@wcl.american.edu, and the panelists have all said that they are available. So if you have follow-up questions or would like to talk or would like to try to get some help figuring out what to do, we're more than happy to talk to you. Thank you very much. Thank you, panelists.